Blog Talk Radio.
Hottest topics.
Hottest music.
And the hottest ladies. You're listening to the Girlfriend Network,
where women stay connected, with your host, Nick Holmes.
Tahira
and Karishma on the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
On the Love Zone USA.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Love Zone USA. I'm your host, Tahira Sutton. I never host the show alone, so I want to welcome in Ms. Nakom Martin. Hi, Nakom.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good.
Happy
how
Monday.
Are you? Yes, happy first day of spring. Woo, woo.
Yes, it is here. Get the balloons
finally
out. I am so happy.
Oh, yes. Goodness.
So we have a good show today. I'm really excited
yes,
to
too.
Speak to author Phyllis Brooks. We're going to talk about motivation and her book, her first book, actually, Let Me Be Your Coach. So I'm really excited
right.
to speak to her and to get into
yes.
that. And also talk about other, you know, projects that she's going on and doing right now. So, but yes, today is the first day of spring. I was really
yes.
very motivated today, even though we had, like, that snowstorm last week. And I'm
yeah.
just like, snow was everything.
I
How was
know.
It in your area?
It wasn't too bad. We didn't get the amount that was, you know, originally predicted. So I was very happy about that. And what is the most amazing thing, I have to tell you, it's so funny. I've been working with my company or at my company for 17 years. We have never closed ever, ever, ever prior to a snowstorm. So I
wow.
guess this snowstorm really put the fear in them and they closed prior, like the
oh
day
my.
Before. So
oh
that was
goodness.
Awesome. You know, I felt like, you know, the state, you know, anybody that works for the state or, you know, federal government, whatever, you know, they always have early closings or a teacher. So I felt so like privileged. I was like, this is what it feels like. You know what I mean? Because like for years I've been trekking in the snow to work while everybody else is home enjoying their snow day. So for the first time I got to be one of those people. So it felt great. And I had a really productive day. I did not lay around and watch TV. I got a lot of stuff done. I really used that time. So it's cool. What about you? How was your area? Because you're more
well,
north than I am.
I'm definitely north. We had a lot of snow. About like, I guess 12 inches and where I am because
no,
I
no.
live like by on a, not a mountains but it's a lot of mountains that were in our area like where hills and stuff so the snowbanks are an issue for us like the big huge snowbanks you
oh,
can't
right.
really park so
uh-huh.
and it's in the street
right.
so driving in the street is complicated even like when the snow was clearing the banks are there so you can't really navigate so now it's just getting cleared up from last week so but as far as the day, the snowing day, I'm always productive when I'm home. So still working from home and, you know, on other products, the projects and stuff
right.
like that. So really, really working from home and talking to people because you get cabin fever because
right.
you've been in
yeah.
the house for so long and you can't go out. So I just wanted to go. I got a little anxious, like, I want to go. I don't want to be in the house anymore. But you can't go. Nothing is outside.
No.
Nothing is working. So I try to avoid, like, watching the news because news is like, oh, at this point, we're at this, you know, it puts, like, that fear of the storm and you're in the midst of the storm. And I'm like, okay, just let's get over it and do what you need to do. But it was very productive for me as well. I just, you know, talked on the phone and, you know, put some things together. So it was really productive. It's just the cleanup is the hardest, getting
right.
out
yes.
and being able to move. So that's it.
Good. So like you said, I'm happy because hopefully we are rounding the corner, you know. So they say about March, what, in like a lamb,
mm-hmm.
out like a lion. So hopefully that last snowstorm was our lion. And now
mm-hmm.
we look forward to some warmer, sunny days. So I'm really excited about that. Everybody that I've been talking to, they're anxious, and they're like, oh, yeah, this summer we're going to turn up. But don't you say that every year. Don't you say that every summer?
Yeah.
So.
And it's officially spring break. So a lot of the college kids are on spring break, which is great. They're getting, you know, their little relaxation. However, they do in spring break.
Right.
So that's really, really interesting for this week. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, and let's say real quick, shout out to Karishma. You know, she's on her tour. Let's call it her world tour.
Yes.
So hopefully she's doing well and she'll be back maybe, what is it, next week? So just want to say, hey, Karishma, we're thinking about you and can't wait
hey,
to
Karishma,
hear.
Hey, Karishma, have fun on your
right?
tour. Have a lot of fun. That's so awesome. But, yes, today we get to speak to Phyllis, really examine, you know, some of the motive. Because I'm always like, you know, I love motivation. And I always want to know what drives people, what helps people. I know people say success is lonely. But it's some keys that are, you know, that they know that we're not, you know, we're not, like, we don't know. So I love when people share motivational skills and things like that, because those are the certain keys that you would need to stay successful. So I'm really excited to, you know, talk to her about that.
And she's a wonderful woman. I've had a chance to speak to her outside of, you know, we're becoming fast friends, and she's a multifaceted woman, very fascinating woman, and she has her hands in many things. Like you said, she's an author. She's a speech pathologist. She speaks to students, as what you were saying, motivating them and how to be successful, students, teachers. She's also a fitness expert and is a personal trainer and is a certified personal trainer. So that kind of was like our medium. She also has had a career in modeling and acting. So, I mean, she's very well-rounded and not to mention beautiful, and she has a great spirit.
Absolutely.
So, really looking forward to talk to her, and hopefully some of the things that she has to say, you know, we can benefit from those things as well and put some of those tips in our lives as well. So I'm excited, you know, and we apologize because last week we decided not to do the show, and we had to, unfortunately, Phyllis had to wait a week, but because of, you know, circumstances that were beyond our control, but we're glad to have her back and that she can, you know, join us tonight. So we're really excited.
Great, great. Very, very beautiful lady. Guys, you can call in 347-539-5729. Don't be shy. Give us a call. Let us know how you feel. Right now we're going to go into Jay-Z Pharrell, Excuse Me Miss, right here on the Girlfriend Network.
You can't roll a blunt to this one. You gotta light a J. You gotta puff a J on this one. You can't even drink Chris Allen on this one. You got to drink Cristal. Try some red wine, little guys, and 9-7. This is for the grown and sexy. Can I get my grown man on for one second? I see some ladies tonight that should be hanging with Jay-Z. Jay-Z. Excuse me, miss. What's your name? Can you come? Tonight. You already know what it's hitting for. My, I got whatever outside, and you know what I'm sitting on. 50-50 venture with them S-dots kicking off. Armadale popping now, only bring a nigga more. Only thing missing is the missus. You ain't even gotta do the dishes. Got two dishwashers, got one chef, one maid. All I need is a partner to play spades with the cards up. All trust. Who else you gonna run with? The truth is us. Only dudes moving units, M-Pimp choosing us. It's the rockin' hair, Maybach outside, got rocks in air, PJs on the runway, young got air, I don't land at an airport, I call it the Clearport, therefore, I don't wanna hear more, back and forth about who's hottest, young holla.
Excuse me, damn,
woo,
you're so contagious,
I got my Gotcha 9-7 on right now,
lady.
You gotta puff a J to this one, can't roll the blunt up to this one, boy. Everybody's like, he's no item. Please don't like him. He don't wipe him. He one-nights him. Now she don't like him. She never met him. Ruby's try to take advantage of him. He won't let him, he don't need him. So he treats him like he treats him. Better them than me, she don't agree with him. She's mad at that, he's not having that. So those opposites attract like magnets. She sees more than the Benz wagon, the friends tagging along, the flashy nigga bragging on the song. She gets a glimpse of Sean and she likes that. He too weighs up, so she writes back. Smiley faces after all of her phrases. Even she the one arm caught in the matrix. But fuck it, let the fish burn. Red or green pill, you live and you learn. Come on. You got it on your fine linen for this one. Love, let's go half on the sun. I know my past ain't won. You can easily get past, but that chapter is done. But I'm done reading for now. Remember space, face up, you can believe him for now. But mind, you got it for real, for serious, bro. I'm about to give you all the keys and security codes. About to show you where the cheese that you know I ain't playing. But before I jump out the window, what's your name?
Yo, this is EQ, exceptional quality. Yo, when I'm taking a break from making tracks, you know what I got on. I got that Love Zone USA, top 7 of the last 7 countdown, every Friday from 8 to 9, featuring Tony Diamond, Love Zone.
First things first, I pop freaks all the honey, dummy, playboy bunnies, those wanting money, those the ones I like cause they don't get Nathan but penetration, unless it smells like sanitation, garbage I turn like doorknobs, heart throb never, black and ugly as ever, however, I say coochie down to the socks. Rings and watch filled with rock. And my jam not in the Mitsubishi. Girls pee-pee when they see me. Navajo creep me and they pee-pee. As I lay down laws like Island Coffin. Stop it. If you think you're gonna make a profit, don't see my ones, don't see my guns. Get it? Now tell your friends, Papa hit it. Then split it in two as I flow with the Junior Mafia. I don't know what the hell's stopping ya. I'm clocking ya. Versace shade watching ya. Once the grin, I'm in game begin. First I talk about how why dresses, this and diamond necklaces, stretch Lexus, is the sex is just immaculate. From the back I get deeper and deeper, help you reach the climax that your man can't make. Call him, tell him you be home real late and sing the break. I got that good love, girl, you didn't know.
Good love, girl, you didn't know.
I'm sick of that song. is until I handle my biz. There I is, made the pain like Damon Wayne. Low down dirty even like his brother Keenan Scheming. Don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. Act tough, that deep. You ringing bells with bags from Chanel. Baby Ben's traded in your Hyundai XL. Fully equipped CD changer with the cell. CD, me at 12. Where you at? Flipping job, playing car notes. While I'm swimming in your women like the breaststroke. Right stroke, left stroke, what's the best stroke? Death stroke, tongue all down the throat. Nothing left to do but send a home to you. I'm through. Can you sing the song for me, boo?
I got that good
song,
girl, you didn't know.
We can cruise the world with pearls, gator boots for girls, the envy of all women, crushed linen, Cartier wristwear with diamonds in it, the finest women I love with the passion, your man's a wimp, I get that man a good thrashing, high fashion, flying in the all state, sexing me while your man, isn't this great, your flight leaves at 8, a flight lands at 9, my game just rewind. Lyrically I'm supposed to represent, I'm not only a client, I'm the player president.
I got that good love, girl, you didn't know. One more chance.
One more chance.
I got that good love, girl, you didn't know.
And welcome back to the Love Zone USA. Thank you for joining us tonight here on the Girlfriend Network, where I, Nicole Martin, and my fabulous co-host, Sahira Sutton, we are here and are going to be speaking to our guest, Phyllis Brooks, very shortly. Tay, the other thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure you know about, and I too know about this, and I even lived through this in my younger years.
Well, Nicole, before we jump into that, I just want to tell everybody to check out The Mike T Show. This is every Thursday right here on the LoveZoneUSA.com, 8 to 10. Now, what were you saying?
Awesome. So I was saying that I've had experiences with this in my younger years, and maybe you have too, but the other thing that Phyllis is a strong advocate for is bullying, where she actually wrote a book about bullying and has spoken about bullying and how to prevent bullying. So the solution for me, I was like in fourth, fifth grade, and I had a few girls that used to bully me, and they would physically like harass me and even beat me up until one day my father said to me, that's it. And I remember he took me into the basement and taught me how to fight. And basically the solution, which is probably not the right solution at this time, we're talking about many, many years ago, where the next time they confronted me is I had to put up my dukes. And funny, I was like 90 pounds, you know, a little weakling. I kicked their butt. So after that, the bullying stopped. But, you know, that's not always the case. So, but I know it's prevalent. It's a lot of that going on from internet bullying and, you know, high school. It's terrible. So any advice that she has or if she has a solution, that'll be great to hear.
Yeah, definitely. So, I definitely wanted to talk to her because we are so much alike. We definitely identify with similar things. I definitely wanted to review that, the book Brandon, The Bully Meets Nina No More. So I definitely wanted to talk about bullying, but I wanted to talk about it from a level of communication. What type of communication can you put out there to stop bullies or to, you know, try to, you know, resolute it without getting in physical with it. I know I had a twin sister. My twin sister, shout out to Shakira Lushain. My twin sister was like my bodyguard. So we had mostly all the classes together, but this one class, and I was the quieter twin. So I felt because I was quiet, I was picked on about like my hair. Because I wasn't allowed to get my hair cut. My hair was, like, really thick. We weren't allowed. Well, first of all, we were acting and modeling. So we weren't allowed to alter our look or get our hair cut. And at the time, everybody was doing the little haircuts and stuff like that, and I couldn't do that. So I kind of got bullied because of the hair. And I just learned that it was just who I was. That was me. That was us. Mm-hmm. And I learned to accept my differences. But, yeah, there was a group of girls that will try to single me out because I had that one class without my sister. So they would try to bully me. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my sister told me, she's like, you have to beat them up. If you don't beat them up, I'm going to beat you up. Because they are going to bully you every day until you stand up. And I just can't get there. She can't get to my class fast enough. So eventually my sister beat all these girls up individually. But so I had to show them I really had to, like, I had enough. Like, I was quiet and I wouldn't say anything. Yeah. And they would, like, push my ponytails and, you know, say, oh, you're hairy. You have all that hair all over the place. Why don't you cut your bangs? Because my bangs were really, really long. So, and at first I thought they were my friends. And then, mm-hmm. and then they would turn on me. So it was really, really bad. My sister told me, she taught me. We did, like, self-defense classes. She said, when, you know, one comes up, you just punch them out to there on the floor, and that's it. I'll be on my way. By that time, I'll be at the classroom, and we'll deal with it. And that's what happened. I mean, there was a big fight because of this. And I did exactly what she said. And then I was fighting with the girl, and all I could hear, somebody else jumped in the fight. So it's two girls fighting me, and all I hear is my sister running down the street. She jumps in the fight, and just that's it. So I've learned that people will, and it's so sad because it's like hair and boys and stuff like that. And these boys, I had no clue. They were high school boys. I had no idea. But it's just sad. The era that we live in, that we have to resort to violence to stop it.
Right.
And teenagers die because of this.
Right.
It's awful. Yeah. For me at the time, I was just like, I couldn't get in the fight because I was in the industry. So it was a little bit different. I can't get my nose broken. Then I can't go and go sees. So it was really, really an issue. And then my parents kind of addressed it by just moving me to an all-girls school, which I had no problems because they didn't care. We had so much work that they didn't even care. But until I stood up to them, and once I stood up, I was like the crazy twin. And so my reputation changed, like, oh, she's crazy. She'll just fight you anywhere. And then her sister will come. Because my sister, she has more of a defense mechanism that she can know in advance. She has superpowers. Mm-hmm. Twins have powers, that's where. To know, like, okay, this is a problem, so I'm not going to even deal with this because this is a possible problem. Me, I'm more, just caring nature. So I'm like, oh, you know, they're talking to me. They're my friend. And then I'm like, wow, they're not my friend. Yeah. They're actually talking to me and talking about me. So it's tough. It was really tough at one point. And I don't know why it has to be so hard. There was no bullying class. I mean, there's nobody. It was no one to talk to about bullying. Simple as bangs and hair, you know, and hairstyles will get you like beat up. And I'm just like, really, this is my choice, my look, you know.
That's so true. And I do remember, even for me back at that age, I said, fourth, fifth grade, and I went to my teachers. My teachers knew what was going on. Nothing was done. And my mother was a teacher at a neighboring school. And I just remember walking to her school from my school in tears. And my mother even went as far as to talk to the other girls' parents. And just nothing ever changed. And it was the same thing. It's funny you said that, because we were supposed to be friends. Like, we shared Barbie dolls, you know. Like, one day we were friends, and the next day I was the enemy, or I had done something wrong that I didn't do wrong, but I was being singled out, and it was crazy. So, and it went on for a while. It went on for almost a year until one day my father was like, that's enough. So you're going to have to learn how to protect yourself and defend yourself and ultimately fight back. And when I did that, you know, and then we really did go on to become good friends. I'm still good friends with one of the women to this day. Now I say women. Back then we were girls, but now we're women. So kind of crazy. So
it's so funny that you said that. The girl that I had a fight with, one of the girls, I saw her like maybe a couple years ago. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, wow, like, look at her now. I mean, it's
yeah.
not funny, but then the other girl, she, you know, she really told me, I'm sorry, later, I always admire you. You guys will always come, because we would go to auditions, and it would be a limousine to pick us up at the school. So that was a lot for everybody. It was a lot for us. And usually the flag, you would do the flag salute outside, so they'll see us getting into the car. So it was a lot of jealousy. So at that point, but it was very hard because I thought she was my friend. Like, I gave her Janet Jackson tickets to go with me. I treated my friends good to the Janet
right,
Jackson
right.
show.
Wow.
That was crazy.
That
so
crazy.
For me, it was just like a blow in the heart. And
yeah.
something simple as hair, like, how do you fight? Because you can't change that about yourself.
No.
You know,
you
can't change those things. So it was very hard. I struggled with it. And then, you know,
mm-hmm.
My mom was not like your mom. My mom met me at that at that corner, and she said, if anybody put your hand on my daughter, I said, Ma, please, with her sneakers. And you should
yeah.
not do that. But, you know, she had to walk us home. My mom's a nurse, so she had to get home at 2 o'clock, make sure we were walking home. But usually if I'm with my sister, they would not say none of this. They just really waited till I was by myself. They really
right.
targeted
yeah.
me. They really targeted me. And it was hurtful. I was just like, I don't know what to do. I tried
mm-hmm.
to avoid maybe going to the class because I was like, I don't want any issues. And then when
right.
the girl said she wanted to fight me, I'm like, why? There was no real
yeah.
reason for the fight.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, one of the things that I'm curious, like, what makes you a target for bullying? Is it just the way that you look, or do the bullies target you because they feel like they can get away with it, they can overpower you, or you're not going to fight back, or you're just going to be submissive to the bullying? So,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I'm always interested in. What makes someone say, out of hundreds of people, that's the person that I want to bully? Because I don't know. I just think it's more than just dislike. I think maybe they, like I said, I feel like they feel it's some kind of weakness or something. They sense something about you.
And that's why I definitely want to understand, like, what's the communication part of it that goes into play? What are, you know, what does kids display that makes them look vulnerable? What did I display that make me, I think because I was quiet and my sister did all the talking, they thought, like, they can really push me around. But they got me to the point where I was just like, enough is enough in my brain. I'm just going to have to do this. And when
yeah.
I was fighting, I don't, you know, condone violence, but when I was fighting this girl, I was just like, had so much rage because she's been bullying me. I'm just like, I got to finish her. I got to stop this from happening. And that's
right.
a terrible place to be. It's not a good
yes.
mental place
mm-hmm.
to be because it's a
no.
lot of stress. But because I was the quietest twin, I was quiet. I didn't bother anybody. I just, and it was a gym class.
So
I was
hard to believe. I found that
yeah,
so hard
I was
to
shy.
Believe that you were quiet and possibly
I was shy.
To see you now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was
yeah.
quiet. I was shy. And, I, you know, I was a kind person if they needed to use my locker or whatever. And then, you know, it was about a boy, too. A boy liked me from high school. I was in sixth grade. I wasn't even allowed to date. Couldn't even wear lipstick. So a boy liked me, and this girl wanted to fight me. And I'm like, what boy are you talking about? Like, it's a lot of guys that like me here. Like, what? You know, I wasn't being cocky. That just was the way it was. And I'm just like, oh, no, you know, I'm not trying to get with your person. Just trying to talk it out. And then she's like, well, I'm letting you know I don't like you. And I'm just like, but why? She's
wow.
like, wow, you know now. Like, now you know. And it's so funny, like, ironic. I did see her later in life, and she's like, you know, I was always jealous of you. You know, it was petty, but I really admire you. And, you know, if we can be friends, I'm like, no, we could never be friends as adults because I'm a totally different breed now. But it was a struggle. It was a struggle, and it made it hard. for me. It made it hard.
Right.
And for me, I just, my heart really goes out to kids these days, because kids are like, I didn't want to take my life or anything. I just felt
right.
the stress of going to that class, the stress of my
right.
heart like beating, like, what's going to happen? No, that anxiety.
Right. What's going to happen today? Exactly.
What's going to happen
mm-hmm.
today? And, you know, I believe I was blessed because I had a sister with me. You know, I said, okay, if I fight for X amount of minutes, I know my sister's going to be here. And that was it. Like, when my sister got there, it was on, because she just didn't care who jumped in the fight. She's fighting everybody. She's just fighting. She has, my sister, one thing about my sister, she has no fear. No fear.
Wow.
So she's just like, I'm going to fight them all. And she did. And after that, they were like, oh, she's quiet, but she's crazy. So I became crazy
right.
twin. Like,
yeah.
oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
you
it's
know that
sad.
Expression? I don't know karate, but I know crazy. So
I did everything.
That works. Sometimes you got to show you're crazy. Mm-hmm. So if all else fails, get crazy.
Yeah. So we're going to go into Miguel Adorn right here on the Girlfriend Network. The Girlfriend Network. I'm your host, Tahira Sutton. And this Welcome back to the Girlfriend Network. I'm your host, Tahira Sutton. I'm here with Ms. Nicole Martin. And we want to welcome in Phyllis Brooks. Thank you for coming on today. And Nicole, Phyllis, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
I am
I'm
here.
Here.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Phyllis.
How are you?
How are you?
I am
How
wonderful.
Are
How are you guys doing?
Oh, good.
So excited to meet you.
Yes,
this is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for joining
us.
We've already been talking about you, Phyllis, with all the different things that you're involved in. We've mentioned you're a speech pathologist. We mentioned you're a motivator, a motivational speaker. You're an author. You're a personal trainer. You're a model.
Yes.
You're an actor. So, first of all, we always like for our guests just to tell your audience how they can find you via social media or email, however you want to put yourself out there. So let our audience know that first and foremost.
Of course, of course. Yes, I am all over social media. I am on Twitter at Phyllis Brooks 5. I am on Facebook. My page is Phyllis Brooks, and then I also have another page titled Let Me Be Your Coach, which is the title of my first book. And it's just a fan page and where I like to connect and just talk about motivating the kids. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. So I am all over the place, guys. There's no way you can miss
me. That's awesome. So let's just talk a little bit about your beginnings. So you worked in pharmaceuticals for many, many years. And, you know, Phyllis is a very accomplished woman and very educated. She has a BA and an MA. So you worked in pharmaceuticals for many, many years, and that just was not getting it for you. So why don't you talk about that and how you went from that leap to what you're doing now?
Okay, well, sure. I mean, the pharmaceutical world, I mean, I had a great career in pharmaceutical sales. I did that for about 12 years, but it was a career path that I had not looked into being on. It just kind of fell in my lap. I had just finished my clinical year as a speech pathologist, and the pharmaceutical company actually just kind of came after me out of the blue. And I met with them, and they were like, you know, you have a BA in English, you have a master's in speech pathology, you know, have you ever thought about coming into pharmaceutical sales? And I'm like, no, I have no idea what that is. And they, so they took my resume, just threw it in a pile, and they were like, look, if you ever get a call back from us, you need to know why you want to possibly come work for pharmaceutical sales. So a week later, I got a call, and then 2 weeks later, I was hired. So I stayed with the same company, which was Merck Pharmaceuticals, for about 12 years, and I just worked my way up the ladder to the highest position. And then after about 12 years, you know, the industry changed a little bit, but I always knew that I would go back into practicing speech pathology, and that's what I try to tell the young kids today. No matter what, get your education, because you can always, always fall back on that. So I knew eventually I'd go back to practicing speech pathology, but I had a great career doing pharmaceutical sales. It was amazing.
And I'm sure, like, the communication aspect did help you and your, you know, your different sales techniques and things like that, Phyllis.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, being in pharmaceutical sales, I learned so much. You learn how to just, you know, deal with so many different types of people and personalities and working with, you know, customers all the way from A to C, you know, top level customers to, you know, just walk it in the front door. So it just taught me a lot about how to deal with so many different people, personalities, and you actually grow, you have to grow a backbone. I mean, when you go in and you're trying to present and teach doctors, you know, information about medications that they're going to prescribe to their patients. And that was my job every day. So you really got to, you know, you got to have that confidence, research the confidence. Exactly. Yeah. So it did. It taught me a lot. And it really helped with what I'm doing now because, you know, all of that was public speaking, speaking to customers. And now when I go out and I speak to thousands of people all the time, just trying to inspire our youth, you know, to never give up on their dreams and their goals no matter what. So it really helped. All of it ties in together.
That's great. So let's talk about that, Phyllis, and let's talk about your first book, Let Me Be Your Coach. And in that, you talk about a 5-step plan for the youth to stay motivated, reach goals, and basically never give up. So explain to us, what is that, and what are you saying to our youth? And I would love to know, are they receptive, and have you seen any feedback, or have you seen any of our youth actually taking what you're saying and being successful with what you're saying and what you're teaching?
Yes, actually, I'd love to talk about that. And the reason I actually wrote this book, and I actually did this book after about 11 years in pharmaceutical sales, and, you know, I just raised my hand and took a severance and said, look, I'm just going to sit out and I'm going to write this book, because I had so many young people just asking me, you know, how did you succeed from, I grew up in a very small city, you know, not a lot of opportunities for the dreams that I had, which was, you know, to be a model, to go into acting and all these different avenues. And being where I was, you know, there was not a lot of opportunity for that. So I kind of just guided myself through. I put myself through undergrad and graduate school. And so, you know, a lot of the younger kids, they're like, how did you do that? How did you get from there to there? So I felt like, okay, well, let me just put this in a book. And I love to write. So I wrote it based on my acronym, BEGIN, the word BEGIN, which is B-E-G-I-N. And the B stands for believing yourself. So, you know, before you can do anything, you have to believe that you can do it. The E stands for empowerment. So once you believe in yourself, that gives you empowerment to keep going. The G stands for just get up, you know, get some goals going, just set goals. I believe you always need to have a goal. Even if you succeed in one, have another one scheduled, but always be striving for something. The I stands for initiate. So now you need to initiate on those goals that you have. One of my mottos is, if you ask for something, you have a 50-50 chance of getting it. But if you don't ask, you won't get it because you didn't ask. So at least initiate on that goal. And I always tell young people, no matter how many times people tell you no, you know, if plan A doesn't work, go for plan B. Sometimes that's a better plan anyway. And then the N stands for never give up. Because now you believe in yourself, you're empowered, you're up and you're moving, you've initiated. So now you can't give up. Don't give up on all those goals you've set. And so I do see a lot of young people, you know, trying to follow that. I have a lot of, you know, young people reaching out to me on Facebook, on my Let Me Be Your Coach page. You know, I've done a lot of speaking at high school. So a lot of the girls say, you know, you were great. I remember what you said. And, you know, they follow me. We keep in touch. So if I can just inspire one person, I feel like I'm doing what I was put here to do. That is my purpose.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it, love it, love it. So Liz, this is Tahira. I have a question because I definitely can identify. I love your work, but I love the way you have the art of communication that helps with the motivation. And when I speak to groups as well, I try to, you know, see where they are to identify. What I talk about is how, you know, the ups and downs of a goal and how you're going to go through those lows, but failure is really upside down success, how you look at perception. Now, and I know you said, I love the begin and the never give up. How do you, you know, communicate that to the youth that you're going to have some, because everybody thinks like, oh, you have a goal, it's just going to go smooth sailing. It doesn't work like that. You go through those lows, and then some people get stuck in the lows because they're like, oh, this was a failure. This year was awful. You know, I can't, and I'm just like, it's not a failure. You know exactly what you did to not succeed. So you have some keys. I believe there's keys in failure. You have some things that, you know, that did not work. So take those things and turn it around.
And that's exactly what I tell them. I tell them, you know, a lot of times the experiences that you have, the good and the bad, you need to try to find something good in no matter what it is. There's a lesson. So just because you fall down, you got to get up. You got to move on from that and try to pull something positive from that, or just a lesson that you can take forward. So that's what I tell them. I mean, I've gone through so much, but everything that I've gone through, I look back and I'm like, you know what? That made me stronger. If I had not gone through that, then I wouldn't be able to be here as a testimony for somebody else, or to inspire somebody else. Everything that I speak about, I speak from my heart. When I'm speaking, I normally write a speech, but by the second sentence, I'm done with the speech. I'm speaking from my heart. I put that down, and I'm out there because everything that I'm talking about is something that I've gone through and something that I know about. And that's why I try to encourage these young kids that I've been there. I've fallen.
I know how it feels to, you know, live in an area, be really poor, not having any kind of role models to look up to and not knowing how I'm going to get from point A to point B. But then I look back and I'm like, okay, I know that was God. He gave me the strength to pick myself up and keep moving. So based on all of those things that I've gone through, you know, that's what I share with the young kids. One story that I like to share with them, and I'll share it really briefly. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, and we lived in this, like, way in the country, I was outside playing in my front yard one day. And it was a hot summer day, and a huge bird came down and swooped me up in the air.
What?
And, yeah, true story. I write about it in my first book. It's crazy, I know. And I tell kids that, and normally I lock them in with that. After that, they're just locked in for the rest of the day. But anyways, because they're like, what happened? So anyways, luckily my oldest brother was standing nearby, and he picked up a rock and threw the rock, hit the bird, and it dropped me. But I have memories of that all the time. And for me, that signifies that I have a purpose for being here. And I know my purpose is to inspire, to motivate, to encourage other people, either, you know, through my books, my motivational speaking, through my personal training for older women, you know, my age, you know, just whatever it is. Everything I do, I feel like it's my purpose to try to encourage and inspire someone else. That is my purpose for being here.
That is so amazing that you definitely identify what you're supposed to do. Now, I do have a question, because sometimes it's hard, and how do you motivate in this area when you have this big dream inside of you, but the people that are around you are very small? So it's hard for you to convince people that are small, because I'm like, you know, for me, I knew, like, I want to be, you know, something famous. I'm going to do something in the industry.
Yep.
And I had... You know, my teachers were like, I don't know. And I'm just like, you have to have motivation out of this world, because it didn't happen in their life. And they're like, okay, I don't think it's intentional that they're discouraging, but it's like, what are you talking about? Where are you from? You're going to get a 9-to-5. Like, I have this 9-to-5.
Right.
How do you motivate big dreamers around small people? Maybe that's another book. I don't know. How do you get that motivation?
Well,
their dream. They actually gave up on their dream. So their dream died. They allowed their dream to die. So seeing you have this big dream, it's like, you can't have that dream because mine's died. So I don't want to hear you think or live big, because that's just not realistic.
Right.
So how do you motivate in that?
Yeah, and I was told that so many times. I'm motivated in that based on my own experiences. I talk about, you know, where I came from, you know, the little small town. And, you know, when I would say, yeah, I want to be on TV. I want to be an actress. I want to be a model. I want to do this and do that. And people, you're not going to do that. You're in Greenwood, South Carolina. How are you going to do that? You know, you're poor. You're not in L.A. or whatever. And you have to find that inner strength. But you also have to find something you can hold on to and you can look up to. So for the kids who are going through that right now, I tell them to look at me, call me, reach out to me, because I didn't have a lot of those resources. And that, I feel like that is my purpose for being here. But I share with them that, look, if I can do it, you can do it. And this is how I did it. I believed in myself. When someone would say, well, you know, you can never be a model or whatever, then when I got in high school, I found the closest modeling school and put myself in there. And I just did it. You take baby steps. You know what I mean? You have to take baby steps. But that goes back to begin. You got to get up. You can't just sit there and listen to what these people say or let people bring you down. You got to hear that inner voice and that inner strength, and you got to find something or somebody to hold on to latch on to, something positive, so that they can help guide you. And you gotta hold on to that, you know, and you gotta believe in yourself that you can do that. So, you know, that is my goal, and that's what I share with these kids who are going through that. And I just did this speech this past weekend for a great organization called Who Am I here in Charlotte. And what they do is they bring in you know, speakers and advocates to come in and motivate these young adults up to the age of 25 who've had very traumatic, you know, experiences in their past. And, and they're in the same place, the exact place that you're talking about, you know, those people who feel like, you know, how do I go from here? What do I do? And I tell you, it was the most amazing experience because it didn't, it wasn't really a speech, but like 5 minutes into it, it just turned into an hour conversation back and forth. And just, they had tons of questions and, you know, and they're like, I need to call you. Can I come speak with you? Can I just come work with you? They were so motivated and energized. And that, you know, that's, I feel like that's when I've done my purpose. When I get that kind of feedback. So.
Well, I definitely want to commend you. You know, it's one, Women's History, but I believe you do this 365 days a year of motivating. It does. Like, we meet, we're phenomenal women on the show, but we meet phenomenal people as well. And what we try to speak when we go out, just being in, being the dream. And I always talk about the dream. I talk about refusing failure and where – when growing up for me, I was very blessed to have supportive family, well, supportive parents that understood my gifts. And I think that's a challenge because sometimes you have parents that don't understand the gifting of the child. So they can't nurture the gift because they don't understand it. They're used to working
that's
9 to 5,
true.
But you have a kid that's banging on the pots, that's a drummer, like, you know, so they don't
that's
understand. So just, you also have to, I would say, you know, pray to understand or to recognize the gifts early so you can nurture it and mature it and put them in the environment that they can, you know, nurture it and allow it to grow. But you definitely do an excellent job of refusing failure. I mean, I talk about this. You have to say no to circumstance. Circumstances are going to happen, but you can't allow it to. They're going to happen. And even with goals, people are like, you guys do this because, you know, you're not. I'm nervous when I talk. Like, I was a shy person. And they call Mark, we talked about bullying. She said, I can't believe you were shy because I had to refuse. And I sing. So I had to refuse what I was feeling to get the gift out there because that was becoming a distraction. If I let this stop me from, you would never be able to touch people. You would never be able to reach people. So it's a lot of self-motivation, too.
It is. Yeah. It is. And that goes from the be and begin. You got to believe. And, you know, one thing that really just really motivated me when I started this was my youngest brother. He played for the Green Bay Packers, and he was inducted into the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame in 2006. So he was up there getting ready. He was up there giving his speech, you know, in Green Bay, and I was sitting out there at the table. And My brother, I mean, he writes speeches at the last minute, so he was writing on a napkin 2 minutes before he went up there, right? So he ends up there, and, you know, he's in front of all these people, and then he says, my sister Phyllis taught me determination. For me, I'm looking, I'm thinking, because he had never said that to me, and I'm the middle of five, there's five of us, and he's my baby brother, but you think, okay, only 1% of you know, these young men make it into the NFL, and then to make it to that point where you're in the Hall of Fame. And for him to say, I taught him determination. Man, I'm like, you know what, God, I know what my purpose is. It's to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm even more determined to motivate and inspire whoever will listen to me, whoever I can share begin with. Our babies need us. You know, I do a lot of bullying talks at these elementary schools because they need this foundation now before they get to 13 and 14. And you have so many teenagers now committing suicide because they feel like they don't have us out here. It's like,
and
my resource.
That's something that we just talked about. And it's, maybe we can have you on a show just to focus on the bullying aspect and different, like, you know, communication, because I was bullied. Nicole was bullied.
I was, too. So was I.
And it's just, like, violence was the our answer out. But our kids are dying. Our kids are committing suicide.
Dying.
The stress levels, like my stress, my bullying was because of hair, my hair. So my stress level when I went to that class was insane. And I can imagine now that we have social media, the stress levels,
yes.
the anxiety. I hated going to this class. I did not want, I was in the industry. I couldn't get, you know, my nose broken.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go on acting jobs in addition to staying in school. So it was a lot of pressure
right.
on me.
Right.
So
right. Exactly.
Definitely have to have you, you know, I definitely want to welcome you back to just focus on bullying because what communicate, like if you can give us like some communication tips that you can put out there, not to avoid it, but kind of to seize it, like to kind of calm it down. It's hard.
Yes, it is very hard. And, you know, my second book is an elementary book for bullying, and that's the one that I promoted all of last year. But, again, my thoughts on bullying is it has to come from, I mean, they have to have a foundation. You know, it has to start at home. I think some of these parents, you know if your child is being a bully. You know if they're going to school hurting other people. Don't turn your face away. You know, don't look away. You know, talk to your child about that. A lot of times kids are being bullied because or kids are being a bully themselves because they're going through something themselves, so they want to take it out on other people.
Mm-hmm.
My key for bullying is talk about it. These kids need to feel like they have a resource to go to express what they're feeling, express what they're going through. Kids who are being bullied, they need to not be afraid to speak up. And that's what I tell kids when I do my motivational speaking on bullying. You have to tell someone. I don't care. If you're at school, tell the janitor, tell the librarian, tell the speech pathologist, tell the principal. If you can't talk to your parents, you know, just tell an adult, but keep telling somebody until somebody helps you. Don't hold it in because what happens when they hold it in, it just builds up. And that's when you have the things like the suicide, you know. So we have to start our babies while they're young because
yes.
if you tell them now, like first, second grade, when they get to, you know, like middle school or high school, they can think back and say, oh, I remember what Nick Holmes told me back at the bullying talk when I was in second grade. Oh, I remember that bullying talk. You know what I mean? They'll have
yeah,
that foundation
absolutely.
That they can fall back on. So that's my key for that. That's what I really try to stress when I'm talking about bullying.
Okay. So coming close with time, Phyllis, I just want you to give your social media resources again. I definitely,
yes.
you know, we're definitely going to get into more depth, have you on the show, just talk about bullying and, you know, how you help the youth. Because this is something that's very close to my heart. We see the reports
definitely.
In the news all the time. Someone is
yes.
out there being bullied. And I think there's help for the bully. There's,
oh, yeah.
you know, tools that we need to give the bully. So I definitely want to do a show that just focuses on that. I would love to
definitely.
Have you, you know, on the show so we can be the change because it has to,
yeah.
these are our babies. Like, it has to get better with our youth. So I'm just going to put you on so you can give all your social media outlets, and then we're going to close out the show.
Okay, sounds great. Again, I am all over Facebook, guys, and then I have two pages on Facebook. You can find me at Phyllis Brooks, and you can also find me at Let Me Be Your Coach. I am also on LinkedIn at Phyllis Brooks. I'm on Twitter, Phyllis Brooks 5, and I'm also on Instagram. So I'm all over the place. And then also my website, www.pbpserenity.com.
That is
Thank
great.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. And like Tara said, we're going to have you back so we can discuss bullying because that is a very, very important topic. So we want to thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real
yes.
pleasure and a real honor.
You guys
and
are
like
so
I welcome.
Said,
and thank you guys for everything that you're doing. You ladies are amazing. So I so appreciate you guys. I can't wait to come back on and just to work
yes.
with you guys. So thank you.
You're very welcome, and have
you.
A great day. Thank you for coming. Oh, that was
okay,
awesome, guys. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was so awesome, Nick Holmes. I love
yeah.
her spirit. That is just so right now. That's what we need to hear right now. I definitely, like, she has so many tools. I think, you know, there is help for the bully. I think there's, you know, reason why these
mm-hmm.
bullies takes on the bully role. So, you know,
right.
it may be like a series of shows that we do because this is definitely something that we can sew into that our youth because this is an ongoing problem. I'm tired of seeing the news. I'm tired of seeing the news. This one killed herself because of face, you know, bullying. And with the internet, it's at a magnitude that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot different than our day, that's for sure, of just getting harassed in the school, you know, in the school playground. Now it's at like a whole new level. So
let's
do that.
Let's definitely do that. I thank you guys for listening. We're going to close up today. We'll see you next week right here on the Girlfriend Network. Good night, everybody. All right, good night.
Good night.
The club isn't the best place to find the lovers, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends sat at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. Come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come on now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body. First day, but you and me are thrifty, so go all you can eat. Fill up your bag and I fill up the plate. We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family's doing okay. And leaving, getting a taxi, kissing the backseat, tell the driver make the radio play. And I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. On my waist and put that body on me. I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
The Love Zone USA, where you can listen to your heart, and we live and learn.